Our little Yengala, he was thrown in the river. How can he be here? Well, it's me. Don't worry. We had a good time. We were in the river for a while, splashing around, and then we went to live in the hole, and we had good stuff to eat, and now we came home. And the mommy and Tati would open up the door, and there is their Yengala, right there, back home. And Paroi took a ride a few months later to the Jewish neighborhood. He says, I'm not going to see any boys, just some girls, no baby boys anymore, no tzitzis, no yarmulkes, nothing, because I got rid of all those kids. And Paroi goes for a ride in the Yiddish neighborhood. Everywhere is boys, and everywhere there's tzitzis and yarmulkes and kinnelach. And Paroi got so upset. And he made more slavery. And he threw more kids into the river than before. And during this time, Yecheved was also expecting a baby. And they wrote down exactly when every baby was going to get born. And Yecheved's baby was due on Shavuos. And the Mitzrayim were going to come to the house on Shavuos to get her baby. But sure enough, she had the baby 3 months early on Zayin Adar, and Yecheved's baby was born secretly in the house 3 months early. And the soldiers of Paroi had exactly written down when each woman was due to have her baby, and they would show up at the house on the day the baby was supposed to be born, or even a little bit earlier, because sometimes the babies come earlier. And they would know that on this day, the woman would have a baby. And as soon as they heard that little baby, they would run in and get it and take it to the river and throw it in. And Yecheved was expecting around the beginning of Sivan, around Vav or Zayin Sivan. But she was very lucky, because her baby was born instead of the end of the ninth month. The baby was born in the beginning of the seventh month. Sometimes a baby comes early and is born early in the seventh month, not usually in the eighth month, but it could be early in the seventh month, or it could be in the ninth month. And once in a very, very great while, or maybe it only happened one time, a certain baby was born in the 12th month. Remember who that was? Eliyahu Hanavi was born after his mother was pregnant for 12 months. But that's not usual. And all of a sudden, when that little baby was born, the whole house was filled with a special light. A light filled the house, but not a light from a candle and not a light from a flashlight. A light from Ruach HaKodesh. The same light that Hashem made on the first day that was hidden away for tzaddikim filled the house. And it went out of the house up into the Shemayim even. And it was a light that filled the world, if you could see that light. Now, Yecheved could see the light, Amram could see the light, and Miriam could see the light. They were tzaddikim. And Yecheved says, I wonder what this light is all about. And Amram says, I wonder why this light is here with this baby. As soon as the baby is born, there's so much light. And Miriam says, Mommy, Tati, I know. Now, there's another little baby in the room, a kid who was 3 years old. His name was Aaron. He was the brother. He also didn't know, but Miriam knew. Miriam knew why there was light in the room, and she said, Mommy and Tati, and little Aaron, my brother, I'll tell you why there's light. This is the kid that is going to save the Yidden from Mitzrayim and destroy Mitzrayim. This kid is going to grow up to be the one to save the Jews. And Amram said, you mean this is the kid that Paro is trying to get by throwing all the Yiddish kids in the river? This is the one that he's after. And Miriam says, yep, that's right, Tati. This is the kid. Mommy today had the kid that is going to grow up to be the leader of the Yidden. Now, they named him Tuvia. No, they never named him Moshe. His name was Tuvia. Tuvia means the good one of Hashem. Toiv and Yudke. because Toiv, Hashem saw the light that it was Toiv. This light was the light of Ki Toiv. And it was from Hashem. So they named him Tuvia. And so Miriam, and so Yecheved, and so Yecheved said like this, for 3 months, we'll keep this baby at home secretly, because nobody knows he was born. And in 3 months, and the Mitzrim have it written down, the day that I'm due to have the baby, they're going to come to the house to take him away. So we'll worry about it then, and for these 3 months, we're going to enjoy this baby. They kept little baby Tuvia home, and they enjoyed him, and they played with him. And he could even talk from the day that he was born. And he was born with a bris milah. They didn't even have to make a bris milah on him. He was born already with a bris milah. He was so halik. And whenever she would go outside, she would put pillows in her dress to make believe that she still had a big bichel, so nobody knew she had the baby. She would pretend she's still pregnant. And as the time went on, she stuck extra pillows in there to make look like the bichel was getting bigger. And actually, she already had the baby. But the Mitzrim didn't know. And then it came time, Kinalach, the night before she was going to have the baby. The next morning, the soldiers were going to come to take away the baby. And Yecheved says to Amram, what are we going to do with our little baby, our little Tuvia? Amram says, don't worry. I've got a very good trick that's going to not only save our baby, but it's going to save thousands and thousands of Jewish lives. And it's going to be a good trick. And Yecheved says, now is not time for tricks. Now is time to save our little baby. And Amram says, through a trick, we're going to save our little baby. And you're going to see. What's the trick? Okay, Amram says, I need a good basket. A basket? A trick with a basket? Yeah, don't worry. Okay? They brought a good basket. They smeared it on the inside and on the outside with certain stuff that it's not going to let in water. It's going to keep out the water. It's going to float. And they wrapped up little Tuvia in blankets. They put them in the little basket. And now Amram says, we're going to hide this basket in the river. In the river? Why do you hide a basket in the river? You hide it maybe in a cave. Avram was hidden in a cave, remember? When Terach had to hide Avram, he hid him in a cave. No, Amram says, our little son has to be hidden in the river. And you'll see why. They took him now in the night to the river. Okay, we'll put him right here by the edge of the river. He says, no. He has to go out. There's plants growing out of the river called reeds. He has to go out to the edge of the reeds where they're right next to the fast part of the river. And Yecheved says, but it's dangerous there. He might get schlepped into the river, and the river is going strong. And Amram says, that's exactly where he has to be hidden. Exactly at the place next to the edge of the river where it's very strong and dangerous. And don't worry, Hashem will help. Daven to Hashem, he should help. Hashem will help. But that's where he has to be put. They put him over there. And Amram says, watch and see what's going to happen. Well, you'll see tomorrow. Now, Yecheved and Amram had to go home. They went home, and they left Miriam to stand by to see what's going to happen and tell them what's going to be. And she stood by. Now, it was already the early morning. She stood by in the tall grass by the side that nobody could see her to wait and see what's going to happen. Now, a few things happened. Number one, let me tell you what happened. That night, the star lookers went out for star time. Remember star time? And they go out very late at night and look at the stars. And all of a sudden, they saw in the stars a very interesting thing going on. One of them said, hey, look, The stars say that the baby that was going to save the Jews has been killed in the water. He's been drowned in the water. And somebody else says, nah, that's not what it says. You can't see clear. It says that he's in a dangerous place in the water. And the other one says, no, he's killed. You can't look at the stars. What's wrong? Your eyes, you can't see anything? Well, your glasses maybe need to be shined and cleaned a little bit. And now look at the sky. It says that he was killed. And they had an argument. Because you can't see clearly what it says. But most of them said, no, the stars say that the one who's going to save the Jews has been killed in the water. Now, Kinalach, this was the trick of Amram. He put little Tuvia in a very dangerous place in the water. That, what means dangerous? You could, Chas Shalom, get killed. But of course he was not killed. What did that make up in the stars? It should say, an unclear thing. It looks like he got killed, and it looks like maybe he didn't get killed. But in the stars, you could also tell from the stars that it looks like he did get killed in the water. They told Paroi, Paroi, your gzera worked. Bilam, your suggestion worked. That baby that we were after to kill and throw in the river and die by water has been killed. The stars say he's been killed. Paroi says, are you sure? Or are you just kind of thinking what the stars say? No. That's what it says in the stars. So they read the stars that way. And the next morning, Paroi said to his officers and his guards and his armies, nobody has to go today to kill Jewish babies. You can go do other things. The gzeira has been finished, and we got that baby. That baby's been killed, and we don't have to worry about that baby anymore. Now, Kinalach, the trick worked of Amram, because that day, they stopped the gzeira of throwing the Jewish babies in the river. And he did it with his own child to put him in a dangerous place. But the kid was still there. What's going to happen with the kid? Miriam is watching that baby. What's going to happen? All of a sudden, a group of ladies come down the little road by the river, and Miriam saw that one of the ladies was wearing a beautiful, beautiful royal dress with a little crown. And this was Paroi's daughter. Her name was Basia. Basia was crying, and she was going together with her servants. Why was she crying? Because she was covered with these terrible boo-boos, like sores all over her body. And every morning she went to wash the sores in the river. It's the only thing that made her feel a little bit better. And the sores didn't go away. And all of a sudden, one of the ladies says, look, there's a basket by the side of the river. What kind of a basket is that by the side of the river? And all of a sudden, they heard a baby crying. Basi said, it must be a little baby in that basket. Oh, I want to go get it. I feel so bad. And one of the servants said, ah, that baby is probably one of those Jews. You know, they're probably trying to hide their babies. Let's go and get that basket and let's take care of that baby. And all of a sudden, as she's going to say a bad word against the baby, she fell down the mountain. That woman who wanted to chas v'shalom do something not good to that baby, she tripped and she fell down the mountain, and that was the end of her. Hey, look what happened to one of the servants. Oh, isn't that terrible? And one of the other servants says, all she wanted to do was to get that basket, and it was a good idea, she wants to, and all of a sudden she also tripped and fell down the mountain. The other servants, well, the mountain goes down to the river, and they fell down, and they died. The other servants were afraid now to say any bad word against that basket. Because two women tried to say a bad word against the basket, and before they could even say it, they were finished. Basia says, let's go down and save that little baby in that basket. She went down to the river Kinalach, and she said, look how far away the basket is. I can't possibly reach it, it's too far. But I also can't swim out that far to get it because the river's dangerous. What am I going to do? And for some reason, she had the idea to stretch out her hand as far as she could. And Hashem made a nest. Her hands started to get longer and longer. Her arms started to grow like a long pole. And it went way, way out. Her hand became so long. She grabbed the basket. She reached it. As soon as she touched that basket, she felt a very, very special feeling through her whole body. And she saw that every sore on her whole body went away and disappeared. And she schlepped the basket. She pulled it out of the river. And she opened it up. She saw a little baby. And she said, I'm going to name you Moshe. Because I pulled you out of the water. Min hamayim mishisihu. The word mishisihu has the word Moshe in it, which means pulling out of the water. Because she pulled him out of the water with this ness, that her arm grew so long, she named him Moshe. So Basya, the daughter of Paroi, named the little boy, the little baby, Moshe. She said, I don't know who your parents are. All I know is that you're a little baby. I want to take care of you. I feel so bad for you. I want to take you home. I want to have you for my own little baby. And I'll take care of you. Now Kinalachi started to cry. He wants to eat. The little baby wants to eat. Now, what's the baby going to eat? You just don't give him food. You don't give him a piece of pizza or something. The baby has to nurse. Now, who could nurse a baby? Only a woman, and only a woman that can nurse. Not every woman could nurse a baby. Only certain women can nurse. Usually only a woman who had a baby herself could nurse a baby. And so Basya said, now Basya wasn't married, so she couldn't nurse the baby. Some of the servants with her were married. So she said to them, maybe you could nurse this baby so the baby will have what to eat and not be hungry. She gave it to the first servant, and the first servant tried to nurse the baby, but he would not nurse from that servant. I don't know why he's not nursing. My baby nurses. She gave the baby to the next servant. The baby did not nurse. She gave the baby to the third servant. Every servant that she gave the baby, he would not nurse. And he was crying still. Oh, what are we going to do? All of a sudden, now, Kinalach, if you remember, Miriam was watching from the tall grass. She was watching to see what's going to happen with Moshe. And as she was watching, and she saw everything, and she heard everything, she got a good idea. Now, she was very smart, as we know. She was a Neviah, and she was very smart. She got a very, very smart idea. All of a sudden, she came out of the grass, and she started walking by, pretending that she was just walking by. Nobody knew that she had been watching, and nobody knew she was the sister of the baby. All they knew was all of a sudden, a little girl walks by, like it could happen. A little girl walks by the river. And she hears the baby crying, and so the little girl came over, and she says, oh, I hear a baby crying. What's wrong? Basi says, this little baby I just found in the river in a basket. It's probably one of those little Jewish babies. My father, he throws babies in the river. I always tell him, Daddy, don't throw babies in the river. It's not nice. And he always says, mind your own business. I'm the king. I make the laws over here. So I can't talk to my daddy about throwing babies in the river or not, but I always think that it's very mean. Anyway, this must be a little baby that the Jews put in the river, but they're hiding him or something. I found him. I want to keep him. But he's not nursing. What are we going to do? Because I want to have the baby to be fed and not to cry, and he's not nursing. Miriam says, wait a minute. You know what? If it's a Jewish baby, maybe he has to find a Jewish woman to nurse the baby. Are any of these women Jewish? No, no. These are not Jewish women. Where are you going to find a Jewish woman to nurse a baby? Miriam says, I'm Jewish. How about if I go call you a Jewish woman to go nurse the baby? Basi says, oh, would you do that? That would be wonderful. Oh, I would really like if you could do that for me. You go to the Jewish neighborhood and find a Jewish woman. I'll pay her money even. And she'll nurse the baby for me. Okay, Miriam says, I'll be back soon. Miriam ran and she brought her mother Yocheved. Basi did not know that this woman is actually the mother of the baby. She did not know that this girl is the sister of the baby. She thinks it's just a girl passing by. And the woman is just a Jewish woman from the neighborhood, from the Jewish neighborhood. Miriam brings Yocheved. Basi says, excuse me, could you please nurse this baby? Could you try? Okay, I'll try. And the baby nursed from Yocheved. That was his mother. And Kenelok, this is, by the way, one reason we have milchiks on Shavuos. This was the day of Shavuos. Little Moshe would not nurse from the Goyisha women because it was chol of akum, Goyisha milk. He would not drink the Goyisha milk. Only he drank from his own mother, the chol of Yisrael. So it's a maisa for milk, and that's one reason on Shavuos we have milchiks to remember this maisa of chol of Yisrael. Now, she nursed the baby, and Basi said to Yocheved, I have a good idea. Babies nurse for 2 years. In those times, they nurse for a whole 2 years. You will take the baby home to your house. Now remember, it's my baby. I found him. You take him home to your house for 2 years, and you nurse him. And when he gets old enough to be able to eat food, you'll bring him to the palace to me, and I'll take care of him in the palace, and he'll be my baby. Now, Kenelach Yocheved took little Moshe home, and working for Basia, she was nursing her own child in her own home with the reshus of Basia. And no one knew this was her own baby. And so, Kenelach, little Moshele was now by his mother for 2 years. He was very smart, and she taught him a lot of Torah. And the Tati Amram taught him a lot of Torah, a lot of Yiddishkeit. He knew he was a Yid. When it came the end of 2 years, they had to take him to the palace of Paroi. And Basya kissed the little baby, put nice clothes on him, and took him into the palace. And now he was in the palace of Paroi. And sometimes when Paroi sat on his throne, and next to Paroi sat Mrs. Paroi, and on the other side sat Basia, little Moshele was sometimes playing on Paroi's lap. And Paroi would buy him toys. Of course, he liked Sfarim better than toys, but, you know, he also played with toys just to make Paroi happy. Otherwise, Paroi would be insulted. Why isn't he playing with the toys? And now, Kenelach, just think of it. The child that is going to grow up to be the leader of the Jews and take the Jews out of Mitzrayim is, and this is the one that Paroi was trying to get rid of, is growing up in Paroi's palace, right under Paroi's nose, and Paroi is paying for everything. Paroi is paying for everything, from his clothes to his food to his toys to everything. And Paroi doesn't know that this is the kid that he's trying to get rid of the whole time. He's playing on his lap. And one day, little Moshele is playing on Paroi's lap. And Paroi is saying, oh, it's so nice, this little baby. And all of a sudden, little Moshe stood up on Paroi's lap. He took the crown off of Paroi's head. He lifted it up and he put the crown on his own head. And he was wearing the crown. Little Moshe was wearing Paroi's crown. Kenelach, Paroi got very angry. And you know who was in the room? Bilam. Bilam got very angry. Paroi says, what does this mean that the child takes the crown and puts it on his head? And Bilam, who is a big magician, like I told you, he says, Paroi, this is a bad sign. This child is going to grow up to want to be a leader, to want to be a king. And maybe he's going to be a greater king than you, Paroi. He's taking your crown and putting it on his little baby head. Oi, Paro, he says, what should we do? Maybe we should kill this baby. And Basi says, no, don't kill my baby. Don't kill my baby. No, you mean Paro, you mean Kiki, you mean Tati. Okay, you know what? Let's make a contest. And let's check out to see if this baby is really such a smart baby that's going to grow up to be a king, or maybe he's just a baby. Maybe he's just a baby playing baby things, taking a crown off of a king's head. Because Basi said he's just a baby. What do you want? Just a baby, that's all. He's just a baby. A baby playing baby things. Okay, this is the contest. They're going to make two bowls on the floor. One bowl has shiny jewels, shiny diamonds. The other bowl will have burning hot coals. Shining hot coals. Now, they're going to put the little baby between the two bowls. By a baby, if it's only a baby, the jewels and the coals look the same. Both are shiny. A baby doesn't understand this is hot and this could burn you and this is not hot. Only he sees they're shiny. He doesn't understand this could hurt him and this can't hurt him. A smart person knows a jewel is worth a lot of money and it's good, and a coal is worth almost nothing and it could hurt you. So if the baby is just a regular baby, he could go to the coals just like the jewels. In fact, maybe he'll go to the coals first because they're going to be even shinier than the jewels because they have fire in them. But he doesn't understand what's fire. And if the baby is really smart and he understands he wants to be a king or something like that, he's not a regular baby head, he will go right to the diamonds. And so they say, if the baby goes to the diamonds, we kill the baby. And if the baby goes to the coals, then it's just a baby. That's the contest. They put the baby down, they let the baby go. Moshe was going right for the diamonds. All of a sudden, Kinalach, a malach came and he pushed his hand into the coals. And not only that, the coal, he picked it up and he put it into his mouth, because a baby, a real baby, whatever he picks up, he puts into his mouth. That's a real baby. Because when Bilam saw him going to the diamonds, he was going to kill him right away. But then when they saw that the baby goes to the coals, they said, ah, it's just the baby. And Moshe burned his mouth, and for the rest of his life, it was very hard for him to talk because he burned his mouth so bad. Talk, talk, talk. It was hard for him to talk because he burned his mouth. Talk. Okay. And so, Kinalach, Moshe grew up in the palace. He got older. Moshe knew he was a Yid. He didn't tell anybody. His parents told him, don't tell anyone. Hey, you're growing up in the palace of Paroi. He doesn't like Jews. The Jews are slaves. Moshe never saw the Jews being slaves until he was about 20 years old. One day, Moshe decided he wants to go and visit the place where the Jews are being slaves, to see what it means that the Jews are slaves. Moshe decided he's going to go out to look at to see what means the Jews are slaves, and he travels out to the land of Goshen, and he sees the Jews are working so hard, getting beaten by the Mitzrim. They're only allowed to eat a little bit of food called matzah, because it's cheap. And give a little water, and they have to work the whole day, and they have to work so hard, and they make the men do women's work and the women do men's work. They don't let the men go home at night. They have to sleep out in the fields. They did all kinds of mean things to them. They made them catch wild animals, and they brought the wild animals back, and they untied the wild animals and they made them catch them again, just for nothing, for no reason, just to be mean. And Moshe saw that these things were so terrible. And right away he wanted to help the Yidden, because he was also a Yid. And he saw Mitzri beating up a Yid, and he couldn't stand it. He looked around to see that nobody was looking. And he also looked around in the future to see if there's going to be any person that comes out of this Mitzri that's good. Because if so, if later on somebody's going to come out good, he's not going to kill him. But he saw that nobody good will come out of this Mitzri. And Moshe said the name of Hashem, and the Mitzri fell down dead. And he buried him in the sand that nobody should know. Moshe did not know there were two Yidden that were watching. Their names were Dasan and Aviram. Later on, you're going to see these two people were troublemakers from the Yidden, unfortunately.